And you're listening to The Afternoon Show. I'm your host, Anne Forbes Cooper. And our next guest is Caroline Bennett, who's the director of the Zadok Pratt Museum in Prattsville, New York. And she's also the general manager of the Village Square Bookstore in Hunter. And she's, at this point, quite a frequent guest on the show. Welcome, Caroline.
Thank you, Anne.
I'm so glad to hear your voice. I'm so glad that we were able to get hold of you and that you've survived all of this.
Thank you very much. It's been a hard, I don't know, has it been 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks? It's been really hard.
Can you tell us how badly the museum was damaged?
Sure. We own several buildings. The most important building that we own is the museum itself, which is the historic homestead of Zadok Pratt. It dates 1824. And the first floor of the house got about 3.5 feet of water. So what that did is it floated all of the furniture that was on the first floor, and it had been set up primarily, the first floor is a historic house museum, so there were a number of furniture pieces that were directly related to Pratt, that belonged to either Pratt himself or the Pratt family. Luckily, it stopped, the water stopped just below the artwork. And so the artwork, while it has moisture, did not get any water damage. So that's good news. Second floor of the museum also gets moisture because of all of the water damage that was on the first floor, but not so much that it's a major concern. And the carriage house, which is behind the museum, is a replica. And that got about 6 or 7 feet of water, so almost up to the ceiling. And that held Pratt's carriage, but more importantly, or as importantly, it held all of our paper collections, which included Pratt papers, Pratt-related papers, the history of Prattsville, many of the families, photos, town records. We had, for instance, we had the very first book of minutes that the town ever held. They held it in what is now Betty O'Hara's house on the west end of town, and that was 1832. So that's a precious document to probably no one but ourselves. So it was hard to see all of that devastation, and the grounds were completely washed away. Our herb garden, I mean, everything is a mess there. We own two other buildings, and
when you say we, can you just say exactly who we is?
Sure. Well, the Zadok Pratt Museum is run by a board of directors, mm-hmm. and we have 8 people on our board. Do you want me to name them?
Well, yes, why not? Yes.
Okay. So we have representatives from a number of mountaintop towns. From the town of Prattsville, we have Betty O'Hara, who is our president, Shelley Brainerd, who is our vice president and treasurer, Ruth Pelkey, who is originally from Prattsville but lives in Windham, Liz Duell, who is from Ashland, Stefania Josick, who is from Hunter, John Quinn, who is from Windham, Karen Dieter, who is from Lexington, and Al Criazzo, who is from Prattsville. So they make up the board of directors. And so I serve, at their pleasure. I direct the museum. I make recommendations to them, and I write grants, and I do the basic day-to-day things. We have an on-site coordinator during the months when we're open, 6 months out of the year, Janelle Maurer. and Janelle, her husband, owns the Prattsville Diner. So all of our board members were hard hit by Hurricane Irene, so they were busy with their own crises.
Yeah.
And but we had so many wonderful volunteers that came from everywhere that, thanks to them, and they were on site every day for, you know, from 8 in the morning until 6 at night.
As you yourself were here.
No, actually, not true. I wish that that were so, but because I have another job, I'm not able to do that. But I'm very grateful to Peter and Sarah Finn and the Catskill Mountain Foundation, because they really let me be absent from my job a lot while I was on site. But if it wasn't for those volunteers, the museum, I figure we're going to recover maybe about 75% of it. Nothing would have been recovered. So,
So structurally, though, is the museum sound? Because a lot of buildings just got washed away in Prattsville.
Yeah, this is true. No, that museum is like, that building is like a battleship. So it stayed on its foundation, and it is not one of those that was condemned as unsafe. But our problem, or sadness or tragedy, whatever you want to call it, is that the historic fabric of the museum has been damaged. So what we are doing and have been doing is trying to recover as much of the historic fabric in the interior, by which I mean the floors in all of the rooms were the original wideboard hemlock. So whereas in a normal home, you would just rip that floor up if it was water-soaked, here every effort is made to try to recover it.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned... Right. And you mentioned the papers earlier. Are any of those recoverable?
Actually, due to the fabulous work of these volunteers, and it was tireless work, let me tell you, almost all of the papers were put in cold storage, which is the second step, let's say, in recovering the documents. And the papers that were related to Pratt and some of the more important documents related to Prattsville went directly to Cooperstown. We immediately contacted a conservator in Cooperstown, Ellen Philippaw. She came on site, and she and her husband, God love them too, they came all the way from Cooperstown, spent hours, and loaded the documents, and she's all set up with her own, private facility and refrigerated area in her workshop. So those were immediately stabilized. All of the others, this angel whose name Johnson is their last name, Jody and, it's another J, but they really are angels from Hudson. They came up numerous times, and they own an ice storage facility in Hudson, and they trucked at their own expense, back and forth. All of the other papers, our furniture, our fabrics that had gotten water-soaked, and they put them in cold storage until such time as we can go through them, decide what we can save. And also, there's going to be a question of, you know, how much of a budget we have to do all of this restoration, so...
Mm-hmm. So all that's still to be discovered, as it were.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I didn't ask about was you yourself. Where do you live, Carolyn?
I live on County Route 2, about 100 feet from the Prattsville border, but on a very back road. So, one is ashamed to say, because it's such good fortune that my home, which is set up much higher than the road and isn't very close to the stream, although I can, you know, see it, and I saw it raging. We came out of it almost unscathed, with the exception that it's not pleasant to live without electricity for 7 days, and our phone won't be back on until this coming Friday, mm-hmm. and all those other things that you have to do that you take for granted. You couldn't take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
Both roads collapsed. That was a little scary. We were in here for, I guess, just about 48 hours, in which there was no way in and no way out.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have walked over the mountain if I had to. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why don't you just fill us in a bit on who exactly Zadok Pratt was and why the museum is important?
Okay, well, our Zadok, because there are two of them, there's Zadok Senior and Zadok Junior.
Okay.
So Zadok Junior, or Zadok Pratt, was many things. A lot of people know him as the Green County Tanner. And most people who are familiar with Pratt also know that he had the largest tannery in the world in Prattsville, located in Prattsville. But he was many other things. He had been a congressman for two terms, and during his tenure in Congress, he had put forth legislation for the Transcontinental Railroad 10 years before it actually would be accepted by the American people. He also sponsored legislation for the creation of the Washington Monument and for the creation of the Smithsonian. He was I like to call him a very modern man. So, you know, because when I was younger, I used to think that history was all about ancient things, but by as my knowledge changed, and if we were measuring him in his own time, he was extremely modern. I mean, a lot of people like to use this analogy of Bill Gates or what have you, but he was that kind of figure during his lifetime, which he was born in 1790 and he died in 1870, so he lived a long and full life. And he loved the town of Prattsville.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, when people talk about Tanners, mostly it's in a negative way. And I certainly understand why, because they cut down the first growth hemlock, and they also littered the mountainsides with lots of debris that caused unnecessary fires, and goes on and on. But Pratt actually had a conservationist mentality long before it was either fashionable or there was such a word. He got that from his mother and from his Puritan beginnings, because they valued the concept of waste not, want not. So he built 100 homes with the hemlock that he denuded. He used the bark, but he used everything else. He created one of New York's first planned communities. That's why the destruction of Prattsville is so alarming to me. He laid beautiful bluestone sidewalk. He planted 100 trees along Main Street. He endowed one church, which was there already, the Reformed Dutch, and he built two others. He brought the first printing press to the mountaintop of Greene County. He built an academy. Prattsville, when history refers to the Gem of the Catskills, and they say the Gem of the Catskills was Wyndham, they are correct, but the part of Wyndham they're talking about is actually Prattsville, because Prattsville was a part of Wyndham, as was as were a number of other mountaintop towns. Prattsville became its own town in 1832, And, of course, Pratt is well known for Pratt Rock Park, which a lot of people call an eccentric monument. But when you look at history, what you see is what started out as, I think, more an attempt to attract people to his town. So he had some interesting carvings that had to do with himself and a tanning carved into the rocks. But when his only son died as a result of injuries he'd received in the Civil War, Pratt had some of the monument stones chipped off, and in their place he had a large bust of his son facing him with the motto of the Ulster Guard, but slightly changed, "This hand for my country," as opposed to "This hand for our country." So I think that what he was saying is, I gave my only son, and it becomes one of the earliest Civil War monuments, man-made Civil War monuments in the country. So this was clearly a really important man in American history, who has been forgotten. One other thing I want to say is that one early historian called Pratt the George Washington of Greene County. So, I mean, he was a really cool guy.
A really cool guy. And was the museum his home then?
It was his home, yes. When he came to Prattsville, he had lived in Lexington, and he came to Prattsville and he bought, I don't know, 1,000 acres. I can't remember exactly how many, but I think it's 1,000. And then he worked on, you know, the church and Main Street. And once he'd established all of that, he built the house for his third wife, Abigail. And unfortunately, she died in childbirth, bearing their third child, who also died shortly after she did. And he married her sister, Mary, and she raised the children in that house.
Yeah, it was tough times, because he had five wives in total, right?
He did have five wives, and by our standards, that sounds enough. But actually, I like to say that if you look at the way his wives died, It reflects how hard it was for, it was hard for men and women, but the first two women died as a result of consumption. And that was common because, you know, the conditions were damp and rough, and he was a poor man at that time. His third wife, Abigail, for whom he built the house, she died in childbirth, which was another common way that women died in the 19th century. And his fourth wife, not sure what she died of, to tell you the truth. Some people tell me she died of consumption. I have no proof of that. And she looked so healthy and corpulent in one of the paintings that I tend to doubt that. His fifth wife, now this shows that he was a ladies' man. He was in his 70s, and she was 24.
Oh, wow. So I guess she outlived him, did she?
She certainly did. But she had to get out of town because she was younger than his daughter, Julia. And Julia did not take well to the idea that she had a stepmother who was younger than she.
So some things never change over the centuries. The same emotions stay. So how many children did he have in total?
He had three. One, Abigail, died shortly after her mother gave birth to her. So he had George and Julia. George died in the Civil War as a result of injuries that he sustained at the Second Battle of Bull Run, or the Battle of Manassas, depending upon what side you were on, depending on what you called it. And so Julia was the one who carried on the family name. I should explain that George had a son and a daughter, and the son, George Jr., died at age 13. So the Pratt line, the Zadig Pratt
name
line,
died out.
Correct. But it lives on in the Ingersoll family, because Julia married Colin Ingersoll, and the Ingersolls are a very well-known and well-respected American family as well. So, and also it lives on through Elizabeth Tibbetts Pratt, and she went to France, and so we get all bound up with a lot of French royalty.
Now, you mentioned that this Zadig Pratt was Zadig Pratt Jr., so who was the father?
Well, the father was an early tanner, but in the way that, in Greene County, but in the way that most people tanned until Pratt used the factory model to, I think, revolutionize tanning. But more than that, he was a Revolutionary War soldier who had fought in the Battle of Long Island, then taken prisoner and put on the prison ship Whitby. A lot of people who have read Edwin Burroughs' book, Forgotten Patriots, will know this story. There were quite a few Revolutionary War soldiers who were taken prisoner down and then taken onto these prison ships, which were in moored off Battery Park and in New York City. And before they were put on the ships, they were thrown into something called the Sugar House, which was just a horrible, dark, dank, pestilent place. So he served in the Revolutionary War, and it's a very patriotic family. Zadig served in the War of 1812, and George in the Civil War. So I think that distinguishes them as an American family.
Yes, indeed. Very interesting. And as you say, it's not really known to a lot of people locally anymore, or even nationally.
I think that's true.
Have you had much media attention since Hurricane Irene? Apart from the destruction of the town, has the museum itself?
I think so, a little more. Certainly, before the storm, we had about, 230 friends on Facebook, and we now have something like 481. Mm. So that's a good thing. I think that people are more interested. Also, it isn't, our museum isn't just dedicated to Pratt. It's dedicated to Pratt, the Pratt family, because they came over just shortly after the first Puritans came, and they came, maybe about, 5 years later. So he definitely, that is, Zadig and the family has a very nice, distinguished pedigree there, too. But we have 300 years of history of Prattsville, in particular, and the region. We had lots of documents about the mountaintop, and some about Schoharie County, and some about Delaware County. And so it's a real resource that I just think, because it had been there, nestled between the post office and the Great American, people often didn't see it. I hope they do now.
Yeah.
Carolyn, this is Tom Rowe here. Has Prattsville ever, historically, has there ever been flooding like this, or do you know about other great floods in the town?
Sure, there was a great flood in 1887, and that flood, I don't think it was of the proportions of this flood, and I'm going to tell you why in a second, but it did take the life of one 10-year-old girl who had been washed away from Washington Street down. I think they found her somewhere downstream in Gilboa. But The houses, if you go into Prattsville now, the houses that stayed on their foundations are Pratt houses. And while they still took enough damage that 35 of them have been deemed unsafe and therefore condemned until such time as the owners decide whether they want to make them safe and make that investment, or they want to just bulldoze them. Of course, there are some, like Dave Reichert's house, that I don't think can be saved, and then there are several that were washed off their foundations. The ones that were washed off their foundations were relatively new constructions, modern, by which I mean anywhere from probably the 60s on. So those constructions did not fare as well as Pratt-constructed houses. So when the storms came, they would have damage, but they wouldn't have the kind of damage that that we had this time around. The other thing is that, and I certainly, just by being a not-for-profit, we are duty-bound not to be political, but the streams were managed by the people themselves, and they knew what was coming every, every spring, every season. And therefore, there were attempts to divert the water. I know that a little building that we own, called the commercial building, it's an early Pratt building, the last flood that we had, we had to take down the wing wall, and that wing wall was totally, it was a laid stone construction. It was the most beautiful thing you ever saw, but we didn't have the money to rebuild it, so we took it down. Now, that was one of the attempts on the part of Pratt and Prattsville to divert waters, that that would cause this kind of devastation. So,
how is Prattsville faring currently? Are you getting the help that you need, either from FEMA or from terms of volunteers? What's the state now?
Well, this is a very subjective view, and if you don't mind, I'd like to switch from talking as Carolyn Bennett, the director of the Pratt Museum, to Carolyn Bennett, resident of, I'm actually a resident of Lexington, but I'm so close to the Prattsville border and to Prattsville and the people of Prattsville that I'm there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard, as I think many others have, that FEMA is the only, is one of the agencies that is strapped as far as money is concerned, and so the worry is that there won't be much FEMA money forthcoming, and when it does come, for the people of Prattsville, and I'm not speaking about other communities, just Prattsville. Prattsville is a very hard-working community. There isn't a lot of money in Prattsville. There are people that might want to rebuild their homes, but they don't have 401ks, they don't have pensions, they don't have medical insurance, and their equity, if they're not still paying a mortgage, their equity is tied up in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a situation like that and you need, I heard someone say that an average house that was being dried out by a commercial cleaner, by which I mean, taking moisture and mold, et cetera, cost $15,000. Well, if you don't have $15,000, you don't have much choice but to bulldoze your home and go live with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one situation. Another situation is that FEMA is not set up, has never been set up to give help to small business. It gives help to individuals. And small businesses in Prattsville, and this is, a dilemma that I don't have a clue how to solve. FEMA will give loans.
Yes,
low
that's
interest
right.
loans.
Yeah.
But the thing is, nobody has any money to pay back a loan.
Yeah.
And they have enormous bills to rebuild. So my own feeling is that it would be wonderful if somebody somewhere, some state or federal agency, could put together a grant package, a one-time grant package. Mm-hmm. The businesses want to come back. They are doing everything they can to come back. And I just hope they get the help that they need.
Yeah, and this is a problem, not just in Prattsville. I mean, Catskill, several businesses were wiped out, and they are, you know, expressing the same thing, that FEMA will not help them, and they've been offered a loan, but they have no business in which to use to pay back the loan. So
correct.
It is a real problem.
Karen, is there a way for people to make cash donations to help people out?
Yes, there is a Town of Prattsville Relief Fund. You just go to any branch of NBT and say that you want to donate to the Town of Prattsville Relief Fund, and that is being administrated by the townspeople themselves through their local government, Corey O'Hara, town supervisor, and the others. I personally think that that is the best way, because it's the most direct route if what you want to do is help Prattsville to rebuild.
And there are all sorts of other things going on as well. I mean, as I was driving here, I was listening to WAMC, and Alan Shartok was hosting a Hurricane Irene Relief Fund. And I know that there's one on Saturday night at the Crossroads Brewery. It's a karaoke night for hurricane victims of Hurricane Irene, hosted by John McInerney. So there are lots of these fund drives going on, whether it's for the Red Cross, but now how money then gets distributed, I'm really not sure, or whether how it gets to you, or if it's, you know, how they dole it out. I'm not sure about that either.
Correct, and so therefore, I'm not sure either. And so, I feel that the best way is to give directly to the town that you want to help, because then it's you are sure that your 100% of what you're giving is going towards the cause that you want. So if you're in Catskill and you want to help rebuild Catskill, find out what the local fund is. If you're in Windham, do the same thing. If you're in Margaretville, out in our neighbors in Delaware and Schoharie County got hard hit too, give to the, try to find out what the most local fund is. If
and give to
hard,
that.
Yes.
Yeah. Caroline, we have about 1 minute left, so what would you like to add? What would you like to say?
Well, what I'd like to say is thank you to everybody. I'm going to say on behalf of the museum, there were so many people that helped us that I believe we will recover, and it is because of them. And just everybody, including yourselves, have been so wonderful that when the museum is back intact, we are going to throw one wild party for all of you.
We'll be there. We're there. We're so there.
Okay, so that's what I want to say.
Okay, well, thank you so very much for talking to us. I'm very glad that you personally are all right. And it's good to hear that things are progressing. And I just wish you all the very best. And do you still need volunteers to come help?
We don't, thank you. Not at this point. Okay. We may later on, and I'll let you know.
Okay, let us know. Okay, well, good luck, and thanks once again, Caroline. That was Caroline Bennett, director of the Zadig Pratt Museum in Prattsville, New York, and talking about the Zadig Pratt Museum. And.